Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough in a Deep. I'm your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you about creating out of your void, because every one of us have void in our lives, do we not? If you really stop to think about each and every life that we see around us, much less ourselves, we recognize that there are fragmentations. We recognize there are places and people and things all around us that we wish were adjusted to be maybe where we feel they need to be, or where we feel our emotions need to be, or maybe where we feel this needs to be in our lives, or maybe we see something that's just not really correct in nature according to what we feel it should be, of what we see the Word to say for us and the will of God. And so every one of us have issues, do we not? But through the issues of our lives, we can begin to understand, not just learn from the mistakes and not just learn from the things that we see around us, because everything can be our teacher and speak life to us if we pull the good out from it. You know, the Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, all things are defiled. And it depends on basically what tree you eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life. And if you stop to think about it, I say this all the time, but it sort of messes with religious people. But goodness actually came from the exact same tree as evilness. So God didn't have a tree of goodness and a tree of evilness. He had a tree of the knowledge of good and evil mixed into one tree. But the other tree is what we were called to live and eat from, which was what? The tree of life. Because God said, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. It's not about goodness. It's not about being good. It's about giving life and being life is what God wants us to be and live from. What standpoint? So if we look at our lives, we say, how can I create out of the void of my life? What do I need to do? Well, let's go back to the very beginning of the book of Genesis, and we're going to read in Genesis chapter 1. And even though I like to emphasize these verses a whole lot within all my teachings, because it's very important to know that, and I say this a lot, because Jesus said, as I am, so are you. God is the great I am. But guess what? You're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, which means you as well are part of the I am-ness of God. Now, I think when the body of Christ starts waking up to the reality that we are creators. It's not the fact that we are, you know, lowly sinners saved by grace. That's almost an antichrist blasphemous mentality to have, because I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint, but I'm also the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the God, so to say, in flesh, dwelling among the people of the earth. You know, Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus was the firstborn among others who are like him in the earth. And so Jesus came and was born in flesh and blood. Guess what? I've come to the earth right behind him, born in flesh and blood as well, dwelling among the people of the earth. So we need to get our thinking corrected first before we deal with the voidness of our lives. So we take a look at our lives and realize that we have progressed past this hard, wretched, you know, mentality that we once had in the body of Christ, which was what? You know, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You know, you actually are a saint. So you cannot dwell in two different trees or two different realms or dimensions of your life, saying that one part of you is life while the other part of you is the evilness, struggling to be good. So you can't do that. That's not a scriptural point of view. It's not a reference of God that he wants us to walk in, much less have. So therefore, guess what? You're creators. End of discussion. You're righteous, you're good, and you're creators. In fact, the goodness of God doesn't even go along with the goodness of good versus evil. That's a humanistic point of view. The goodness of God goes beyond and transcends past what we consider to be good. So therefore, that's the ultimate of ultimates in the kingdom of God, is understanding even what that word represents and means to each one of us. Does it not? So we're talking about creating out of the void of our lives, are we not? We're talking and dealing with what do we need to do. First and foremost, A, we need to fix and correct our thinking and our stinking thinking of our theology. We need to break down some sacred cows, destroy them, and realize, A, I am that I am, like God is. God is an I am, and I am an I am. Which means what? It means, the Bible says, let the weak say what? I am strong. Let the poor say what? I am rich. So the I am-ness of who you are needs to respond in the correct way of thinking and its theology as far as realigning and readjusting to say, I am. So you're making a declaration, a positive confession, but you're also speaking from the heart of how God sees it, how God thinks it, and how God views it. And God's view is in the now moment. It's not in the past. It's not at some futuristic event. It's in the I am-ness of who He is. God is like energy. He's constantly flowing in everything that He does. And so everything in the universe is energy. We've said that before in the broadcast. So knowing that, we have to remember that our lives are part of the I am-ness that is a constant flow, like an energy flow that never stops. Moving, flowing, and breathing. Because why? In Him we what? We live and we move. And we have our being. So you're in a constant state of moving. Even when you think you're not moving, you are moving and vibrating. All right? So let's take a look at the creating. The creating process says, first and foremost, I must come to the acknowledgement that I am that I am. That I am what I am because God created me to be that way. And obedience, here's where many people miss it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Can I tell you how many times on my Facebook page I have so many amazing, wonderful, beautiful spirits, amazing people, lights as I call people in the body of Christ, that respond in positive, amazing ways. But when I used a phrase one day to say, I am that I am, many people loved it and liked it and raved about it, while I had maybe one or two religious people, you know, respond on there and said, you know, something to the effect of, oh, only God is the I am. You know, how can we say that we're the I am-ness? And I said, I didn't say it. The Bible says it. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. So I have to acknowledge the I am-ness of who I am. So if I don't understand who I am, then guess what happens? Everything that's negative, everything that's of the enemy, everything completely begins to flood me over and begins to tell me who I'm not. You see what I'm saying? The world, the people, good people, bad people, Christian people, Buddhist people, Muslim people, atheist people, no matter who a person is, even some of the most Christianese people that we think can be a bad influence in our lives. So we can't always go by just of who someone is and allow their influence to dominate or to breathe over us to tell us who we think that we are. In essence, you have to know who you are in the now moment. That's where your power comes in. If I could relate this to all the thousands upon thousands of listeners that we have in so many different areas that our broadcast projects into of other networks and stuff, if I can get this point across to people, imagine the power that would come out of you. Imagine the power of what God has put in you that would flood out of your soul. Because think of it this way, from a scriptural standpoint of view, the Bible says what? We're going to get to Genesis in a minute, trust me. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So you have resurrecting power, resurrecting anointing, resurrecting Spirit in you. That means be careful what you touch because you will resurrect. Be careful what you do not want resurrected because if you touch it, you'll resurrect it. You see what I'm saying? You have to know who you are to know what you're after and what you want to resurrect and what you do not want resurrected, because you have to remember you are a powerhouse that anything you touch begins to prosper, turn to gold, or begins to energize or make alive again. And so many people do not understand that. When you have the concept that God is God and I'm not, and you have the concept that God does everything, you know, it's one thing that I have an issue with is all these really quote-unquote very humble Christian people, they say. I have to remain humble, which is to me a false humility. Because if you love God, you'll take Him at what He says. You'll take Him at His word of what God said you are. So a lot of Christians look at their lives and say, oh no, brother, it's not about me. It's all about God. It's totally about Him. And I don't think for myself. It's all about what God wants for me. And I don't do anything without praying first, brother. And I want so bad to really, pardon the expression, but I want to vomit sometimes. Come on, you know you're with me. Many of you are like, oh, if I have to deal with another religious person. But we love them, do we not? But we have to begin to understand that's not true. It's not all about God. It's about God working in and through us. Because God made it very plain that God raised us up. God has raised us up, seated us in heavenly places. That means if you're raised up, then you need to see yourself as being raised up. I didn't say hyped up or puffed up. I said raised up. If God set you in heavenly places, you better see yourself from a heavenly standpoint of view, operating through and in His throne. You have to see yourself the way that God has already seen you. You're a spirit, folks, having a human experience. You have always lived before time ever began. You always have, and you always will be. Spirit does not die. It can't be born and it can't die. It always has been. So you have to see yourself the way God sees you and created you to be, and that is wonderfully and fearfully created. And when you see yourself in a correct way of I am that I am here to create, I'm here to make a decision, I'm here to remember and realize that everything that I touch will begin to resurrect because I have the power of life and death within inside of me to generate something I need generated and to destroy what I need destroyed. So first and foremost, all of this needs to be seen first and foremost of your identity and how you see yourself. If you see God working and doing all the work and you're doing nothing at all, you know, then guess what? You'll find out that God's not going to work through you and God won't do everything for you because God doesn't function and flow that way. God never has functioned and flowed that way. He chooses to use man because He loves man, and He understands and knows that man was, is, and was, and always will be a spirit. And that spirit is part of God. And so God works with Himself. Did you hear what I just said? That's enough to knock off every sacred cows in your life. God works with Himself. God works with Himself, and guess who is part of Himself, if we can say it that way? Us. We are the spirits of God, knowing that you cannot separate a spirit. Spirit is oneness. And so knowing that, you have to remember and understand that first, A, understand your identity. Understand who you are and why you're here and what you're called to do. Now then, we're talking about what? Creating out of the void of your life. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I know I'm giving you a lot. I try to give as much as I can in all the broadcasts that you would begin to awaken to the reality of who you are and awaken to your destiny. Destiny is not something that will happen to you one day, some kind of sacred utopia that will appear in your life. No, that's not destiny. That's wishful thinking. Destiny started the day you were born. And every day, listen to me now, Christians, the day and every day you begin to awaken to a new level of light in the kingdom of God, which means every day that you begin to awaken or illuminate from something God spoke to you, or you begin to see the power, coming from, God radiating and vibrating throughout your being. The more that you get your mind renewed, there's a good Christian principle for you, all right? The more you renew your mind is the more that you become enlightened. The more you become enlightened, the more you become awakened. And the more that you progress from glory to glory, that means the more that you awaken, not in a hype state, not in the more you shake. And, you know, just because you shake more today than you did yesterday does not make you more spiritual. I would personally think it makes you more fleshly because you're moving more by the flesh more than by what the Spirit of God is doing on the inside. And so you're vibrating the presence of the reality of a kingdom moving and shaking, expanding and growing from within you. Did you get that? And so when you begin to be more awakened and enlightened in that place of God, then you begin to understand the power that is in you that works through you. The Bible says the power that worketh in you. And so we're going to read Genesis chapter 1 for you to understand, is it possible, Jeremy, is it really possible for me to create out of the nothingness and the void of my existence? And my answer to you would be absolutely, 101% absolutely. So Genesis chapter 1 says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now listen to me for a moment and you're going to hear some powerful things that will turn in your spirit. So God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, now remember this. Does not everything God create perfect? Everything God creates is perfect, right? It's wonderful. It's exactly what He wants it to be. He even called everything of His creation good, the Bible mentions. And once again, remember, God's goodness is not like our goodness. So, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. But now in verse 1, God said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then we read, the earth was without form and void. So God, did you create something that was formless and full of void? Yes, he did. Is there a method to the madness, so to say, as we say? Yes. Is it still perfected in the state of it being non-perfected? Absolutely. Why is that? Because everything God makes is perfect. We get that. But God created the perfection in through the imperfection of without form and void. Why? Now listen to me for a moment. This will set you free. Because God created the earth for it to be a chaotic state of being, for it to be without form and void, because that's what the Bible just said. It goes on to, it said what? God said, this is what God is saying to you. What if I come to you, and let's say I'm God, and I'm coming to you, and I say, hey, I just created this table. Now, the table is very faulty, and it's perfect, though, but it's faulty, and if it's going to break if you put anything on it. The legs are sort of not balanced, and, you know, it's all roughed up, and the screws are not properly in, so it could actually just, the screws can actually just come on out at any moment. What would you honestly think about me, first and foremost? You'd be a little confused, would you not? You'd say, but you just made this table new just now, but yet you're telling me it's not perfect, I can't use it? Why would you create something that's not perfect, in the sense of it's not usable? Because of the fact God's perfection came out of the imperfection, so to say, of what he just created. Now, I say that because of this reason. God created the earth to be without form and void because he's going to come in a couple of days after to create man. Man is in his image and in his likeness. Man is a spirit having a human experience, just like Jesus. He's not a human having a supernatural experience. We are spirits first. When you understand the concept that you are spirit having a human experience, you'll get off the whole understanding of I've got to be in an atmosphere that's shaking, quaking, spooky, spiritual, because see, you'll need that if you think yourself as a human. If you understand that I'm a constant spirit flowing, regenerating, evolving, shifting, moving with the power that lives in me, that I don't have to constantly resurrect. It's already alive and well in me. And you walk in that praying always mentality like Paul did. What did it mean when Paul said, pray always, pray without ceasing? Well, that seems a little impossible for me, God, because I've got to eat. I've got to go to the bathroom. I've got to clothe myself. I have to shower. And I have to focus on my work when I'm at work. I mean, how can I pray when my boss, so to say, if you're in an accountant, your boss is saying, I need these reports done. I need the accounting on this person done by the end of the day. Well, then how on earth can you pray while you're having to work on this person's accounting? It would mess your brain up, would it not? Why would God say that? Because I believe it is the awakening that happens within us that we understand that we are spiritual. Spirits have a human experience, like Paul said before, about we are spirits within bodies. And when you come to that revelation and that awakening, then you will always pray because your spirit is always in divine direct connection with Source, with God Almighty. And when you have already the connection, automatically you stay awakened because you realize there is no detachment from the reality of who you are with. There is never a detachment when you come to the awakening process that I am a part of God, made into flesh, dwelling among the people of the earth to bring forth a shift, a change, an awakening, an opening, an entrance of wholeness, an entrance of healing, an awakening of prosperity, an awakening of evolving into an entrepreneur, an awakening of being at the head and not the tail. So guess what? When you are becoming awakened in that state of consciousness, which is your mind and your spirit, and you realize that I am that I am in the awakening process, guess what happens? Automatically, you understand I'm praying without ceasing because I'm constantly in divine connection. I've always been, but I awaken to that, and so my mind is consciously 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a state of what? Awareness. And so when you get to that place, you say, got it. Then guess what? You're praying without ceasing. Because prayer is what? Communication. It's an awakening of the communication that should be always in constant motion. And that's what you become. You awaken to that reality. I am a prayer. I have become a prayer because I am in divine connection constantly. So, did God create something to be void and the perfection through His imperfection? Yes. Are we saying God is imperfection? Absolutely not. But through God's amazing understanding of my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, you come to the enlightenment state of being to say, I got it, God. I understand why you did what you did now. Now, hear me out for a moment. I'm getting to the last point here in the broadcast. So, when I see that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and yet the Spirit of God was still hovering over the waters of something that was imperfected. Because the Spirit of God knew that this place is actually perfected by God, but yet it looks imperfected because of the fact it's full of void and darkness. But the Spirit of God was still there. Why was the Spirit of God there? Because of the fact, first of all, A, the Spirit of God loves to hover over void. Hello, Mary. Hovered over a void when she was barren, in the sense of didn't have a. She wasn't impregnated by a man. She was still a quote unquote a virgin, as the scripture says. And so, because of that, we understand what? We understand that the Holy Spirit still hovered over the voidness of an emptiness within Mary because she had not been impregnated, or has she not been with a man? So He hovered over her to bring life into her. So we can look at that to say the Spirit of God still hovered over things that looked imperfected, but yet knew that God knew the ending from the beginning, so He knew this imperfected state was actually perfected. So, we get that. Last but not least, here's the big doozy. Here's the icing on the cake for many of you guys out there listening to me, and that is this. You are the Creator that God knew He would bring to the earth a couple days later, after this perfected state that looked and was perceived to be imperfected, because of the fact God knew, I'm going to bring my creators to earth, and when I bring my creators to earth, hopefully they will awaken to a wealth consciousness. Listen to me now. What is wealth consciousness? It's not all about money. If your mind stays on money and says, oh, there it is again about money, then your mind needs to be renewed. Your mind needs to be renewed to the aspect that wealth is not all about money. And if you want to hear more about that, you need to get my school on financial perception and mental economics. We've already seen 39 people, folks, start businesses and are already prospering with employees. We're not talking about just start your business off poor. We're talking about people who are entrepreneurs, started their business, who actually are making money and seeing the results and a harvest from it. So if you want more to know more about what wealth really is outside of money, you need to get my school of financial perception and mental economics. Now then, once you begin to understand that God made you to be a creator, God sent us to earth because He wanted us to awaken to the wealth consciousness that we walk in, or that is already embedded inside of us, which wealth consciousness is not about money, we said earlier. It's about knowing that there's a wealth, a treasure in your earthen vessel of who you are, knowing that there's wealth in me to birth forth whatever I need to shift, whatever I need to adjust, whatever it needs to be changed. So could it be that God brought forth His creators into the earth realm, knowing that He'd left it for man to say, yes, it is without form and void, and guess what? I'm going to begin to create, because God finished His work, completed it, and readjusted things to where on the seventh day He could rest. But this was also a typology, folks. Genesis chapter 1 is also a typology of God saying, in your life, I create your earth, your reality, sometimes to be without form and void. And darkness will be upon the face of your deep, of your problem, your circumstance, your situation, of things I'm creating for you to bring to you. Why? Because, here it is. Are you ready for this? Because it is what? God will conceal a thing, but it will be the honor of, and privilege of a king, those who know that they're kings, to unveil it, figure it out, to correct it, and to adjust it. That's what the scripture talks about. The Bible says that. So therefore, guess what? When you awaken to kingship, you awaken to sonship, you awaken to creatorship, you awaken to wealth consciousness. When you do, God says, now that's why I put you on the earth. And when you begin to awaken to who you are in the I am-ness of God, then and only then can you understand why God brings things to us in our lives that are full of void and full of darkness and full of that place where, guess what, there is things that are not formed. And therefore, when you understand that concept, then you realize as a creator awakened, then God brings me things to say, now then, you fix what I just presented to you. You adjust how you feel in your heart, for according to my spirit in you that raised me from the dead, according to that spirit, you create what you feel that needs to look like. And you might say, well, oh God, I don't know about that. Let's look at, take a Genesis again. Isn't it interesting how God created the animals and created man on the same day? But it's amazing, God, you never named the animals. That's really crazy. Why would you give animals names? Is it because you didn't care for them? Oh no, absolutely not. Because God wanted man to have dominion on the earth over animals. And that's why I personally have an issue with the killing of animals. Because animals were given to the care of man to watch over. In fact, man never ate meat. Man never killed an animal in the Garden of Eden in the perfected state. Hello. But it was after the fall is when man began to come like he was. In fact, David said it in Psalms. David said, man at his very best is but a beast. And so at the very best of the man, of man in his humanistic nature, is nothing more than a beast. And so that's why for me, after the fall is when man began to eat meat. Man began to treat animals like horrible, rotten things that they're not. And so through that, I tell people this. I have decided to reside in a state that is not a fallen state. I want to treat creation the way God treated it and God wanted us to treat it, from a non-falling standpoint. Therefore, I honor animals. I love them, and my job is to protect them and not eat them. That's where I come from a non-fall standpoint of view. Now, many people want to live in the fall and do what the fall has brought upon us. I choose not to, personally. That's just my conviction. But yet, for us, we have to remember, God presented the animals to Adam to name. Isn't it interesting that God used his creators on earth to give animals, thousands of animals, the names, which name means nature. So I believe when Adam spoke the name over an animal, I believe that animal began to be formed at that very instant from the power of life and death that came out of Adam's mouth to formulate how that animal, that particular animal should look. Whether it had a long nose or long hair or long tail or short tail, I believe the power of life began to come out of the creators on earth to speak life into the creation that God created. For God to say, look, I might have created it, and it's not the fact that it's imperfected, it's the fact that it's perfected, but I've given you as a creator to bring forth the adjustment, the enlightenment, the correctness, so to say, and the life to my creation. And God to this very day, folks, is still doing that. So I want to tell you today, as we end the broadcast, know in your heart who you are. Know what you carry. Know what you're called to move into. Nothing in life is impossible for you to do. Nothing in life that of anything that comes to you will ever be a quote-unquote challenge, in the sense of saying it's something I've got to figure out if I can do or I could or I can't or can't do. Everything in your life is a can do. Nothing is a can't do. Nothing is impossible. So you've got to remember that anything that you see in your life, you choose to either say, I know for a fact I can do that. I just choose not to do it. But don't ever say to yourself, I can't do that. Those are words that go against the flow of the I am-ness that works on the inside of you, that you are, not that you're becoming that you, but what you are, according to the I am-ness of who God is working in you and through you and as you. And when you begin to understand that power, you begin to move into a higher wavelength of understanding the power of who you are as a creator, brings God glory, brings him honor, because the Bible says obedience is better than your sacrifice. They sacrificed animals. They sacrificed this. I don't want to sacrifice for God. I want to be obedient to to God. And obedience is where the key unlocks the mystery of the Creator that you have been and always will be on planet Earth. I believe all that's in me, this broadcast is a blessing to all the listeners. I believe it will change and revolutionize so many things. I believe so many of you just got downloads of after downloads of ideas that you now need to go and do in your life. Not think about, but do. Be a doer of the Word. Be a doer of the Spirit that flows in you like power, like rivers, like energy, that's constantly giving you the freshness of creativity. That's who you are. Don't ever walk away from who you are. Or think lesser than of who you think you are. Know who you are, and who you are is divine. You are divine, you are spirit, you are light, you are energy, you are creative, you are that you are, because God made you that way. Let me close with this as well. I want to encourage you right now. We just launched out my brand new book. I love this book called Transformation. And the name and the subtitle is this: Transformation from Old Paradigms to Creative Change. Folks, we have already sold, I think, about 250 of these books, and then I think about 75 ebooks already. Transformation from Old Paradigms to Creative Change. If you like what I'm talking about today, you'll love this book, because I want you to know what you're called to think, how you're called to think. This book will transform, trust me, your life. That's why I named it Transformation. So you can go to identitynetwork.net. And you can order the book Transformation from Old Paradigms to Creative Change. That's who you are, and that's where you need to be, is in the life-giving substance of a book or an ebook that is telling you truthfully of who you are and what you're called to do. And then guess what will happen? The nature of that book, the nature of those words, will impregnate you to want to know what it is you were called to do in this life. And that's from a standpoint of how I write all my books. And so I want you to go today. In fact, we have it in a ebook format, which if you order the ebook format, which is actually, check this out, for my listeners today, I want you to know, for my listeners today, the ebook on my website is just $4.99. Listen, folks, $4.99. You cannot beat that ebook. It's a good size ebook too. We're not talking about a small one. I'm talking about a good size ebook for you. $4.99, and you get it instantly, automatically sent to your email instantly. Now also, you can get it in the book format, which I've put on sale, folks, for just $8.99. You cannot beat that. Not $15, but $8.99. So you can get the book for $8.99 or the ebook for $4.99 and get it automatically, or you can get it shipped in the mail as a book. Either one, I want you to take advantage this now while it is on sale. I'm telling you, there's gold nuggets and revelatory thinking and things in the book and the ebook that you desperately need. So go order it right now. It's on the home page. If you go to identitynetwork.net, on the home page, you'll see it in that column right there as a brand new book. It's called Transformation from Old Paradigms to Creative Change. And also in the column of the ebooks, you'll see it there on the end of that, same thing, on sale. Get your copy, either one today, a book or ebook, while it's on sale. Because if it's not on sale, folks, you know what? You had your chance. Amen. So God bless each and every one of you. Please let us know what the broadcast means to you. Go to my Facebook. My Facebook actually is facebook.com/identitynetwork. How easy is that? facebook.com/identitynetwork. Go to that and make sure that you like the page of Identity Network, and we'll make sure we post other things. I'm actually coming out with two more other new books within the next month that will be really on a subject that I very rarely talk about, so you guys are going to love it. So make sure you get your book today or ebook, Transformation from Old Paradigms to Creative Change. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.